Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chefs.
Yeah. Cabbie. Taj.
What's up, guys?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, just make it. It was nothing. There's no sound. I don't know where you are. Were you muted?
You know what? You caught me. I had my phone on mute.
Yeah, so everything you must have been saying was probably on mute, though. I hope everything's okay.
Well, I can promise you it was a great intro. Let me start it again. Sorry about that. We'll cut that out of the podcast or something like that. I'm sure there's something we can do in post, but let's restart everything here. How you doing, everybody? It's Thursday, June 24th. I hope I find you feeling happy and healthy. If you want to get on and actually be heard, first and foremost, make sure you unmute your phone, especially if you're the host. Very important. But if you do want to call in and chat with us today, the number is 929-477-2759. Again, 929-477-2759. Quite a week of baseball, a lot of things that went on. But first, let's say hi to our friends on the phone. Who we got today?
What's up, everybody? My name is Sizzling Steve, calling in from West Coast, California, in the house.
Steve, where in California are you from?
I live in Corona. I'm from Orange County originally. I'm actually on the freeway right now, sitting in traffic, wondering how else Rob Manfred is going to screw up Major League Baseball.
Boy, that's been the Manfred rules, I think, as Max Scherzer dubbed it. And, yeah, it's been quite a debut for the new rules in checking pitchers for foreign substances. But I see, before we dive into some of the things that we got going on and the scores for the day, we got another caller on. Who we got? Or is it just you and me, Steve? Well,
It's timeless here, Dave. How are you?
That's what I thought. I was trying to give you your platform. What's going on, TP?
I'm doing all right, man. Just checking in and making sure everything's all right at the buffet. And hopefully we can get into a lot of good topics and talk about everything, including Scherzer basically stripping at the mound.
Listen, it's in today's baseball, you never know. But first, before we dive into that stuff, all the sticky stuff and all the other sticky topics we got coming on, let's take a look at the scores around the league. The first game that really jumped out to me, as always, was the Yankee game, as the Yankees beat the Royals 8-1. And in that game, the trio of Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, and Luke Voit, three guys you really need to get going, all hit home runs. James Tyon goes up to 2-4, and Keller goes down to 6-8. And one note on that game is DJ LeMahieu's last 13 games, he's hitting .314 with three doubles, three homers, only three strikeouts, a couple of walks, looks like six walks. And his OPS is up to 935 over that stretch. So definitely good news for Yankee fans if you've been looking to see some improvement from over there. The A's and the Rangers faced off, with the A's winning and Bassett goes on, Chris Bassett goes on for the win to go up to 8-2 with Colby Allard falling to 2-3. We got a number of games going on right now, as always. One of the games in the later stages right now are the Red Sox and the Rays tied at 0 apiece, but the headline on that game and why I wanted to start there, there are zeros across the column for Tampa Bay, and what that means is Nick Pivetta is not – I don't know about you two. I grew up loving baseball in an era where you just don't say it. But I'll say he's not – he doesn't have a perfect game because he's given up 2 walks, but he hasn't allowed anything in that second column of the box score. Sorry if I'm being too subtle on that one, but it always excites me. This is, I think, the second – time in 3 weeks that we started a show off with a hitless performance by a pitcher being thrown. Other games going on right now, we have the Reds up 2-1 on the Braves in Cincinnati. That game is started by Tony Stantillion. And interesting note on this game, the Braves never even announced their starting pitcher up until the beginning of the game. Astros are trying to stay hot right now. They're in the top of the fifth in Detroit. They're up 6-1. No surprise there. And the Nationals are beating up on the Marlins 5-0. But the story in that game continues to be Kyle Schwarber. And interesting stat on that game, Kyle Schwarber has 8 home runs and 15 ribbies in his last 5 games. The only other players with 8 home runs and 15 ribbies in a 5-game span were Manny Ramirez, Sean Green, and Frank Howard. And at this point, Kyle Schwarber, mind you, it's June 24th, is one home run shy from tying the franchise record for home runs in a calendar month, and that covers both the Nationals and the Expos. Other action going on around major leagues, the Indians and Twins tied at 1. In the second, that game was Indian starter there was J.C. Mejia against Jose Berrios for the Twins. The Pirates are up 2-1 on the Cardinals. Cardinals right now sitting at 36-38, really hoping to get up to 500. And another game that we have going on later are Cubs and Dodgers. With Walker Buehler, who's now 7-0 for the Dodgers against Zach Davies going out there for the Cubs. The Cubs 41-33 and the Dodgers 44-30. That's quite a matchup. So if you're stuck in traffic in L.A., you know, might as well head over to Dodger Stadium, but you never know how long it could take you to get there. And one game I left off at the top was – well, I usually like to do the Orioles last because I like to keep Nate happy as long as I possibly can, but he's not here, so who cares? The Orioles are down 0-9, and the story in that game is, once again, Vlad Guerrero with just an absolute moonshot in that game. The Blue Jays just seem to do no wrong at this point. I think that youth is really carrying that franchise, and they are just proving that they will be there for a while. And that game got out of hand very quickly. I mean, Gurriel hit a grand slam in the bottom of the first. They went up 6-0. And then in the second inning, Vlad hits just an absolute monster home run, his 24th of the year. That takes him to the lead in the majors. And one of the things that I do want to talk about certainly today will be the home run derby itself. But where else to start than the enforcement of the sticky stuff rules? And really, the heart of the rule is you can challenge. If you think a player has sticky stuff on them, and ask the umps to go and figure out what's going on. Well, you know, ask them to check the hat, check the jersey, check the palm. If you're Michael Pineda, check the neck. Or maybe in the pants, as we have seen. So, guys, real quick, let's start with Steve. Because, Steve, I haven't had a chance to really interact with you too much. So let's first start here. I'd love to hear a little bit about who your favorite team is, who you're rooting for this year, and your take on the sticky stuff situation. But really, start with a little bit of an intro for the people who might be Sports City Chefs listeners but not familiar with the great Steve.
Well, I'm a Yankee fan. Therefore, I'm thrilled that DJ LeMahieu at the top of the Yankee lineup is starting to play like, well, DJ LeMahieu, a professional hitter, if ever there was one. As he becomes more consistent, that is going to give opportunities to the Aaron Judges, Giancarlo Stantons, and Gary Sanchez of the world when Aaron Boone calls on his number to play catcher ahead of Kyle Higashioka. So thrilled to see that. As for the sticky stuff rules, well, baseball can't seem to get out of its own way. And Ty and I had a conversation about this earlier on text. It is very reactionary that baseball, they wanted to deaden the ball because of the juice ball situation of the last few years. They deadened the ball, but there was a lot of miscommunication in the preseason about this. And then you got a lot of hitters complaining at the Yankees. Part of the reason for their hitting struggles was the fact that the team is built to hit. So when you deaden the ball, it's hard for a hitting-oriented team like the Yankees to hit. So Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball reacted to it on the fly as opposed to with it. A little bit vague. I'm not quite sure what's allowed, what's not allowed. I think they need to define that a little bit more specifically. I don't like the timing of when they implemented it. I think they should have done it before the season or wait till after the season is over or just allow the problem to self-correct itself, which baseball never allows to happen. They react to everything. So it's really bad timing, vague as to what constitutes an illegal sticky substance versus what is legal. It's just baseball being baseball in terms of being reactionary as opposed to being a little bit more calculating.
Yeah, Steve, I definitely agree with you there. I mean, baseball has certainly – it feels like they can't strike that balance of doing the right thing, which is strange because for me growing up it felt like, baseball could almost do no wrong. And it was clearly football and baseball – kind of running away with it, and at the time, quite frankly, football was dealing with a number of image issues, and basketball was trying to climb out of them. But you know, the people at the top just seem like they haven't really been, filled with direction, if I may. You know, coming out of it's been stemming back to, I think, really when Manfred came in. And they just can't seem to get out of their own way. Like, for instance, the 60-game season. I mean, we're talking about the sticky stuff, but going back to the 60-game season, how that was negotiated, I think in hindsight, you absolutely could have done a significantly longer season, maybe not have gotten the whole thing in, but it just could have been handled better. And, another thing that's been frustrating about baseball is how public they've done all of this and their timing. The fact that they're just doing this in the middle of June, to me, is the most egregious of all the parts. I don't understand it. But, TP, what are your thoughts on this?
It's been pretty crazy, to say the least, and baseball is like trying to sharpen everything around the board, year after year, trying to tweak things and just like Steve hit on, like me and him had a discussion, and it's crazy that they're going after the big names, like a guy like Scherzer up there and him literally trying to prove his point that he ain't doing nothing crazy. But you'll have skippers like, Girardi jump out there to make sure that they seal the deal, things of that nature. So it's going to be tough because, all of these umps across the board are going to be looking at this. I, for one, I don't like the fact that people cheat, but it's like, it's a part of baseball. I mean, it's been happening. And I go back as far as the George Brett days when they try to catch up with the Pine Tar situation and, any edge. And now me being a Twin fan, watching Pineda get caught out with that stuff too. So, I mean, you got so many different things that they're going to have to watch for, the motions of pitchers or batters doing something crazy that you haven't seen before. So baseball has its black eye, but this is going to be more or less regulated by the umpires and people that are trying to make them aware of these situations. So, again, I'm not for the cheating or have the edge. I really feel bad about, stuff within baseball, especially the steroid era and all of the players that are being held out of, the hall and things of that nature. Do they come after pitchers, in the same manner if they are doing this type of stuff? Like, George Brett did it. I mean, is he out of Cooperstown? There's a lot of things to think about, so end of the day. Hopefully they can corral it a better way. I don't know if they check these players before the game starts or what, but this is something that's a big question mark in front of the league.
Now, you brought up a point, PP, that I've always thought was very interesting. Well, always thought, you know, for the last week. But the way they've been checking these players, it's very public. Like the umps go out to the mound and they, like, you know, as Ben said earlier, they basically strip down the pitchers right in front of the crowd if they need to. And I don't understand that. I think there's a much better way to do it. It's almost like baseball saying, like, hey, everybody, check out how we screwed up right here in front of everybody, where they could do these things, you know, bring the player, you know, in between innings, bring the pitcher back to the dugout or something, or have a compliance officer be in charge of those things. And another kind of interesting thought on this, at least, if the whole point is it sticky stuff, you know, if it's that sticky, check the baseball. I mean, you know, is it that hard to check the baseball? Maybe there's something I'm not thinking of, but, you know, I know they're all looking for these, these different types of markings or spots where there might be something. I don't know. I think the baseball could do it. And also, it's a very modern world we're in right now. If you're able to check the spin rate on the fly, just keep track of guys' spin rates. And if something seems out of control one day, it's out of control one day. And that's when you check it. I don't understand why, you know, the Yankees can't have somebody who's, you know, recording the spin rates. And if somebody seems to be spiking that day, that's when you check it. Use the data. Maybe that's just the data analyst in me and somebody who thinks that you just look at raw numbers and can make a decision like that. Now, I don't like doing that when you're trying to formulate a team because numbers can only tell you so much. But in this specific instance, I think it can. But TP, man, I got to say one thing. I know we disagree on this one, but how do you think this sticky stuff compares to the steroid era? And I mean, like, do you think this is significantly more egregious? It's less egregious than the steroid era, you know? And I've often in the show brought up the health aspect and how it would affect kids. So for this specific conversation, let's just say there's no adverse health effect. It's literally just something that you, like, you could just take a pill and immediately be able to hit, you know, add 10% to every one of your power stats. And that's it, you know, there's just something like that, but it was illegal. I mean, which would you think would be more of a crime, if I may? And then, how would you handle the sticky stuff right now? I mean, would you just have it removed, or would you try to come up with some standard that everybody can use?
The crazy part of thinking about this along these lines is, like, how long have these pitchers been getting away with it? If they bust the pitcher and they give them the suspension, it's something different. But if they're in a situation where you catch them one time and then, oh, do we look at this down the road, like they don't get caught or they suspend them for a certain amount of games, if that's another thing as well. So I wonder how they're going to handle this, because they're holding all of these major league players out of the game from the steroid use, whether it's Barry Bonds, it's Palmeiro, it's Mark McGwire, it's Sammy Sosa. These are pillars of the league. Especially in that 90s run, or let's say 80s through 90s to here, you know what I'm saying? So knowing how many pitchers may have gotten caught up with that scenario is another thing. So Major League Baseball has to make up their mind. They're going to have to come to this crossroads as soon as possible and start, like, I guess, tipping their hand. But if they want to stay strong and regulated across the board, they're going to keep this mentality, things of that nature. I'm one that, you know, screens for a lot of these guys that they have in the steroid era that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but they're not going to move that. Or, you know, one that I actually met while I was in Nevada, beating Pete Rose, like I damn near cried talking to him. Like, no, I mean, it may be funny to you, but, like, just looking at him and in his eyes and just seeing that, he'd do anything just to get in the Hall and get it over with. Like, you could tell it's just, like, pure baseball in that guy, and he'll tell that story to everybody. And me being in Vegas like that, it's like everybody gambles. So him doing that and things of that, I don't even want to get into the lines and start mentioning the Pete Rose situation, but baseball got so many different scenarios that they have to answer. And it's like one by one, while they're putting their finger in one hole, they have another leak to figure out. So across the board, they have to figure out these comparisons of situations where they hold against the player or move on from it.
Yeah, no, I'm only laughing because I have a similar experience. I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, personally. I think it's absolutely a crime that he's not, but I also think Clemens and Bond should be in there, too. That's a discussion that we, you know, if we feel like it, we can hop into it later. But, you know, Steve, I have a question for you, too, and it's similar. How would you handle it? I mean, I'm all about the idea of just putting a compliance officer to check the pitchers or check something with the balls. But what would you do to make the game just seem a little cleaner? And, you know, if the goal is to clean up the sticky stuff, or if your goal is to standardize it or, you know, get rid of the rosin bag and give you a vat of spider tack out there. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think an independent compliance officer, one that doesn't have a vested interest in the outcome of baseball. That's really the issue in baseball, is it's a win-at-all-costs kind of league. And as long as they're a multi-billion-dollar corporation, which I don't know if they made that much last season. I'm pretty sure that they did it. But under normal circumstances, they're $10-plus billion revenue per year because it's a win-at-all-costs league. And they figure as long as the money's coming in, you know, people will complain, the media will do what they do. But they'll just keep doing what they do, they being Major League Baseball in that case. I think an independent compliance officer that does not have a vested interest in the success of the league is what needs to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen unless baseball's bottom line starts being effective, which I think it could, because let's face it, baseball skews older. They skew 40, 50, 60, 70-year-olds, and they're dying off every single day. The millennials and Generation Z are going to take over here. They're not so high on baseball because baseball is a slow-moving sport. We can certainly talk about that later on if you'd like, as well as a sport that is not always about integrity. And these generations that are coming up are kind of the do-right generation or the cancel culture generation, where they want to cancel anything from the past that misrepresents the great part of America. So I think baseball needs to emphasize integrity. And the best way to do it is an independent compliance officer that doesn't have a vested interest in the outcome of Major League Baseball.
So, yeah, you know, that's a quite an interesting point. I do – you said something, Steve, that I'd love to hear your thoughts on, is you mentioned that baseball is slow moving. I love getting fresh perspectives on this. So, you know, from moving on from the spider tack, you know, type rules and those type of rules, what would you – do to make the game less, for lack of a better word, boring for the younger group who has the attention span of a Twitter, you know, a quick 5-minute Twitter gif?
The ADHD generation, and I'm part of that generation too, that I'm easily distracted. Therefore, I'm gonna, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Did he fade out?
Yeah, I think we might have lost Steve there for a second, but it's all right. You know, TP, I'll ask you the same question while we wait for to Steve to come back. You know, after we've got a chunk of the season down, I don't know how much you're actually watching. I'll admit, I would say a game. When the NBA playoffs are on, I'm a Nets fan. You know, was all in on that, and now we've got quite the Final Four in the NBA. But I'm kind of shifting back to baseball. But it is hard in a way to go from that constant action of basketball, even if there's five reviews in the last, you know, 5 seconds that leads to a dramatic dunk in a Suns game by DeAndre Ayton. You don't get that in baseball, it feels like. It almost feels like that pace that you had in basketball, where you had all those reviews, just slowed everything down. If you could apply that into, you know, condense it, I think that's a problem that baseball has, is it feels that same sluggish pace. So, TP, you tell me, what would you do to make the game just less droll?
I can't complain at baseball because, you know, it's what you see is what you get with baseball. It's a pitcher that has to make this thing happen. I'm a baseball lover just because I love the fact that a pitcher could pitch a no-hitter or a perfect game. I mean, I love the defensive side of the thing, but definitely love to see a person hit a bomb and how far that they could hit a pitch. But you have games like basketball games where you got walk-off situations, bases loaded, and you need two runs, or just need a run, and it's just a batter with two outs, and he hits a bomb. Like, there's you know, the heightened situations or the hype around it that have you at the edge of your seat. So baseball ain't as physical as football or have the 24-second pace every possession like basketball, but baseball has its ups and downs. I mean, you got to take it for what the sport is, and it's using a bat or a stick, if you want to look at it like that, because they're using a wooden bat, not like us when we were
right.
coming up. We were using aluminum metal bats and trying to make contact. And just imagine if these big horse-type guys were hitting at pitches at that type of rate, people would be ducking in outfield. So it's interesting, you know what I'm saying, as far as the game has evolutionized from the 1800s until where it is now and how they may have tightened the ball to see more home runs get driven out. But there's a lot to the sport. And
So, not to cut you off, TV, but you're talking about all the home runs and you know, like you said, tightening the ball and sort of adjusting the rules. And we, you know, are aware that at different points in history, they've even moved the outfield fences in a little bit to increase long ball offense. But, you know, one of the things, I know you like it, and that's great, and I'm glad that you love baseball as much as you did. I would be a complete liar if I didn't say I found it less exciting. I don't want to say more. I know I used the word boring earlier, and I hate using that word. That was unfair to baseball. But it's less exciting than it was when I was growing up, and it's simply because of the whole idea that there's a runner on first or second, and the guy who's at the plate, you know, growing up, whether it was Bernie Williams or Tino Martinez or Scott Brosius or Knobloch or somebody like that, they could put the bat on the ball, and you weren't even thinking home run. It was like, oh, I hope this guy can find a spot in between, you know, the three outfielders and the four infielders, or maybe just hit a ground ball in just the right spot. And it was the excitement of advancing the runner and knowing every single pitch you're either going to move a guy up a couple of bases or or get a single and get a player on who's then going to cause more excitement on the next at bat. You'd see more times through the lineup. I loved it. For me, I loved it when they would go through the lineup 1 through 9 and then, you know, if they would get a second at bat in the same inning. So, you know, I guess I ask you more from that perspective, for the masses who are, for the masses who are saying, okay, I'm not as excited by this, so I'll sit in the stands and kind of watch on my phone. If you're a player themselves who's like, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, TP, that my nephew, he's going to be a sophomore in high school, and he's a pitcher, and he loves baseball, plays, you know, the show 21, watches a whole bunch of baseball, and he's a bit of an outsider of his friends from the baseball perspective, because his friends, like, you know, everybody likes football, they go out and play basketball, but he's playing baseball. And I said, what do your friends tell you if they question, like, why are you doing baseball? All you do is just stand around. And he said, yeah, that's kind of the overwhelming sentiment is that baseball right now, you just kind of stand around waiting and everybody's going to hit a home run. So, again, sorry for the long way to ask this question, TP, but I really want to hear your answer on how you would make baseball better for the masses and bring it back into popularity.
Like I said before, they can't change it, man. I don't want to see. I'm a purist if it comes to that. I don't want to see the game change as much. And I mean, I think you're a Yankee fan, right? You're a Yankee guy.
Oh yeah.
So we actually competed with you 2 years ago, even last year too. But 2 years ago for the home run situation, just watching that whole summer go down and being a Twins fan, we have the Major League Baseball lead of 307 home runs hit in the season, and that was phenomenal. Like, I loved it, and I said, I'm not even going to lie, I actually watched the 36-minute barrage of the Twins hitting 307 home runs. It's like, just getting more hype and hype and hype and hype, just watching that happen. So, like, I get it, like what you're saying, like watching – the cycle of a lineup go through there, but growing up and knowing the style of baseball, like no skipper wants to see that or watch their pitcher get pummeled or walk a bunch of batters. Like now that I know the dynamic of sports, it's like that guy's job is going to be on the line, or he may end up getting pushed down to like the minor leagues and may not ever come back up if he goes through an inning like that. So now that's a concern. Like I'm worried about all the sports all across the board. So I don't think they change anything on what they have right now. I think they got to go with what it is, and people have to take it for what it's worth. If there's a home team, whether they're in the middle of Kansas City or in Seattle watching the Mariners, like their team could get good, and just knowing that you watch and follow them through the bad or the good times, and just think about this. There's been over 100-plus years of history on two teams in Chicago, and they both got their just due in the 2000, you know, era. And people have lived and died through that situation or finally seen it happen while their great-grandparents didn't have it happen. So all of the hype is there, and everything is in line for baseball. And just being patient and being a real fan means a lot. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I feel about it. I don't think they need to change anything. I really do. The one thing I do think they need to change in baseball is if it goes extra inning, don't put a person on second base to just watch a base hit happen and they score a run, and then once he don't get a base hit, that's lousy. Like, let that go back to the old way, and that's that. They took the fun out of baseball, making teams actually earn it, because all they have to do is get a ground ball hit into the outfield, and the game is basically over. Like, I'm used to the 22-inning Cleveland-Indian Yankee game, like things like that. Like, I want to be up to the edge of the night if a pitcher doing their thing, or they run out of pitchers and got to put somebody else in that they didn't expect to put in. Like, go out there and earn that check. Y'all getting paid millions of dollars to do this. So that's why I'm going with it. But, like, again, I grew up playing all the sports. My father made us play everything, baseball, soccer, basketball, football, everything we could think of. So we knew what it took to get the job done.
I love it. I love it, TP. My only knock on your argument, and it's a great one, is your argument felt strictly emotional about how you feel about the game and how much it meant to you and even your connection to it. And if you're trying to reach a, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-old who has absolutely no affiliation with baseball, it's hard to sell them on love when all they see is a guy either hitting a home run or striking out. Baseball look, I love football. I will say football is probably my number one sport, but, you know, in my heart of hearts, I've got to give baseball the number two spot. And just, there was so much, joy being a Yankee fan growing up. And that's, sir, you know, I'm sure Steve, understands that as well. And Steve, sounds like we got you back. So, we were just talking about
better than ever, baby, a strong signal.
There you. Oh boy, Steve, you sound great. Let's hear you sound great as you kind of give us some thoughts on how you would change the on the field product for baseball,
right,
to try to draw in some new audience.
Well, like I mentioned, baseball players need to do a better job of hitting the ball to the opposite field. But with the shift, they're hitting home runs, and if you don't get a home run, you strike out. It's what I call the Rob Deer syndrome. You remember Rob Deer, the Detroit Tigers? Mr. Feast or Famine, either home runs or strikeouts, no in between. That's the issue.
It was like Serrano from Major League.
Yeah. Yep, Pedro Serrano. Yeah, exactly. He could hit the straight ball, but not so much the ball that moves a little bit, particularly the curveball. So until that one-game playoff against the Yankees. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Major League yet, great. We got to get into Major League. I love quoting so many lines from Major League. It'll make you guys laugh, but we'll get into that later. In the meantime, taking away the shift, you know, playing defense the way it was meant to be played, and hitters getting better at hitting the ball to the opposite field, you know, like Derek Jeter used to do when he was playing, or Pete Rose, or Tony Gwynn. Kirby Puckett, I got to tell you, Ty, I like the Twins because of Kirby Puckett way back when. That dude didn't strike out, never walked, contact hitter, and he always put the ball in play more often than not. He struck out maybe 20 times for every 100 bats or whatever, just some ridiculous percentage. I used to watch letting Kirby Puckett play for your old school Twins when he was winning World Series under Tom Kelly. So taking the shift out, number one. And number two, I kind of feel like some teams are way too reliant on analytics. See Kevin Cash in the World Series last year against the Dodgers, another analytics-reliant team. The Dodgers at least won a World Series. You got to understand that analytics have their place in baseball, my favorite analytic is the team that scores the most runs wins. But all joking aside, analytics has its place, but sometimes you got to trust what you are seeing and allow your pitchers to go through the lineup for a third time. Why? Because if he's dominating them through the first two and you take them out, you're doing the opposing team a favor. That's going to allow them to breathe a sigh of relief. So understand when to appeal to analytics, but also understand to trust what you're seeing and to understand when a pitcher is flat out dominating a lineup and don't bail that lineup out. So I think taking away the shift and moderating the reliance on analytics will help restore the exciting aspect of baseball, and that's putting the ball in play and guys getting on base.
I love it, man. That's great. And there's one stat that jumps out at me that you said tongue-in-cheek about, you know, the team that scores the most run wins the game. Currently, the Miami Marlins, who are 31-42, so it's a .425 winning percentage or .575 losing percentage.
The playoff last year, they were the surprise ball last year.
Well, here's the thing. They have a +15 run differential.
Well, then they're not making – Well, then it's got to be defense
wrong.
Or pitching. What's the defense or pitching? It's got to be one of those two, right?
Yeah, it's definitely – I also think it's their lack of run production as they sit towards the bottom of the league in that. And you look around baseball right now, I mean, just a quick glance at the overall baseball standings. I mean, the Giants are still at the top. Then you got the Astros, the Athletics, the White Sox, and the Red Sox. And for me, look at those top five teams. And then you got to throw the Dodgers in there, but I'm going to ignore them for a quick moment. But you look at the Giants, the Astros, the Athletics, the White Sox, and the Red Sox. I think every one of those teams came in with questions. And then you have the Dodgers, who, like you said, are so analytic heavy. And I'm a data analyst by trade, by day. And, you know, if there's one thing I find as a data analyst who's also a sports fan and a big baseball fan, I think I agree, man. Analytics is ruining baseball. And I think, Steve, I think as a Yankee fan, I'd be curious if you agree with me here. I think the Yankees are building their teams based on the averages. What they're doing is trying to find a guy, you know, trying to find, you know, 10 guys who hit – you know, 10 home runs rather than one guy who can hit, you know, 30 or 40. But they're also not looking at things situationally, because if you look over 162-game season, it's not the same league in the beginning of the year. It's not the same league at the end of the year. At the beginning of the year, guys aren't fresh. Guys are maybe not throwing their top pitches. I mean, look at Jacob deGrom now. Everything he throws is an absolute laser beam because he's finally got warmed up. Not like he really had any bad moments during the season. I really shouldn't even use Jacob deGrom as an example because he's, you know, making those Pedro 99-2000 years.
Yeah.
What?
That, the DeGrominator. That's a pretty good example, I would say.
Oh yeah, I picked him on the preseason show as my MVP and Cy Young Award winner. So I'm feeling a little smart about that. So I'll keep bringing it up.
I just feel if he stays healthy, he's going to be in that conversation all season. Sure.
I'd love to see a pitcher do something like that. But you know, it's frustrating seeing all the analytics, but. You know, one guy who's really bucking all these trends is Shohei Ohtani. And Shohei Ohtani is – they're just using him. They're just telling him – it's a real – I feel like that is the most old-school feel that I've seen on a dude in a long time. Because they're just like, go out there and play, man. Like, if you want to do something, go have fun. Go do what you want to do. Try to win us as many games. If you just, you know, waste everything between now and then, if you just, you know, blow your arm out, it is what it is. If you hurt yourself running the bases, it is what it is. We're trying to just get the most out of you that you can. And I admire that to an extent. I mean, these guys, their bodies, they're not gas tanks. It's not you only get, you know, 200 innings in the season and then it's a drop-off. I truly believe that it's more like an elastic, and you stretch it a little bit, then it comes back, and you stretch a little bit, then it comes back, and you stretch a little bit, then it comes back, and that's each start. I don't know how they make baseball to get these starters to expand more, but I was talking about Shohei Ohtani, and Shohei Ohtani is even in the home run derby, which I don't know about you guys. I love the home run derby. I didn't like it growing up. I mean, there was that one year, well, there's been a couple of years where guys have just completely gone off. But do either of you guys, what are your opinions on the Home Run Derby? I love it. I think it's really great. I always think it's kind of lame going into it. I won't pretend I'm not one of those guys like, oh, great, it's the Home Run Derby. Then I turn it on, I get into it, and once the competition juices start going, then you're like, all right, this is fun. But what about you guys? TP, I haven't heard from you in a while. What do you think of it?
I love the Home Run Derby. I'm surprised that you didn't like it as a kid. That's when I really loved it back then in the 80s and 90s, coming up and watching these dudes hit bombs, and then the Ken Griffey era when Griffey – everybody in my hood or in my school was like, Griffey got the sweetest swing, and like a couple of my boys wish they could bat lefty so they could swing the bat like Griffey. So I don't know. I saw it differently. I still love it. I just don't like the extra stuff that they do. Oh, well, this is the $1 million home run. Like, come on, don't put it on just one home run. They just say like the next home run is a $1 million home run for somebody to get a house or something, or whatever they're trying to do to promise stuff. Like the aura of the Home Run Derby is what everybody really comes around All-Star Weekend for. Of course, they come to see the All-Star game, but it's fun at the All-Star game and seeing how they could get the game won. But the Home Run Derby, it's still the all end-all, be-all at the end of the day for that All-Star weekend. So I look at it differently. I love the long ball. I love to see it happen, especially the pace that Ohtani and Vlad Jr. and one of my favorites in the league is Tatis Jr. Like, these dudes are mashing the ball. So I feel a certain way about the home run game, and not to be, you know, personal, but I really, you know, I'm a big Trout fan, and the way that they are set back in Anaheim is just upsetting. I want to see, and I'm a diehard Twins fan. I don't care about no other team in the league. Like, I watch and pay attention, but Mike Trout plays the game so good that I love this guy, the way that he plays baseball, and he's set back right now, and the Angels are still trying to find their way, and this season they're supposed to be successful. They're still under 500 ball. So it's tough. I don't know what they need to do. They got rid of Pujols. The Pujols is actually hitting the ball better now in Dodger land. So I don't know if that's a lose-lose, or I don't get it. But, again, like that, you know, hitting is everything in baseball. If a pitcher is shutting one offense down, it's shocking. But if one team is just dynamically overpowering a pitcher or their staff, is great to watch, great to see, and I'm a fan of home runs. I can't lie.
So right now we have only Pete Alonso and Ohtani in the Home Run Derby. Alonso announced he would do it earlier today, actually. Vlad Jr., unfortunately, and man, I would love to see him do it again. Vlad Jr. is out, which is unfortunate. I mean, in 2019, the last real Home Run Derby, he just absolutely mashed the heck out of the ball. And it was him and I believe it was Jock Peterson put on quite the show the last Home Run Derby. And other than that, I mean, the other really huge memory I have is I think it was 08 when Josh Hamilton had one round and just absolutely destroyed everything. And as the Yankee fan, part of me loves what Aaron Judge did. But, Steve, man, as a Yankee fan, I don't know, are you a Home Run Derby fan? Did you enjoy when Aaron Judge just destroyed everything he could? And I think it was Marlins Park a couple years ago.
Is the Pope Catholic? Oh, yeah. It's the Home Run Derby.
It's the Pope Catholic.
I was a kid, you know, actually, the baseball All-Star Weekend, or the All-Star Extravaganza, as it were, I think is the best in amongst the big three sports. The Pro Bowl's a joke, and the NBA All-Star Game's somewhat of a joke, too, unless they're really being competitive. At least in baseball, you see pitching, hitting, defense, everything that makes for a great baseball game, and the Home Run Derby is a great lead-up to it. So the baseball All-Star Extravaganza as a whole has always been my favorite amongst all the All-Star Extravaganzas of three major sports. And, yeah, Aaron Judge clubbing one home run after another a few years ago when he hit 52 home runs as a rookie. Man, oh, man, oh, man. We were salivating as Yankee fans at that time. How good can this kid be? Well, he could be great if he could stay healthy consistently, because we know he's a five-tool player, top five talent in baseball as far as I'm concerned. But to be a top five player, you got to be available and productive, and availability has been an issue with him at times. But, yeah, that was really exciting. That was probably the last time I cheered openly loudly during a baseball game, during a Home Run Derby extravaganza. It was when Aaron Judge was doing what he did a few years ago.
That was great. I just got to break in real quick, let everybody know. that Tampa Bay just got their first base hit in the bottom of the eighth, so that no-hitter is over. Kevin Kiermaier breaking that one up. You brought up the whole weekend, and that was something I've always been curious. See, for me, the All-Star game itself in baseball was one of my favorite, if not my favorite, of the All-Star games, because then you get those unique matchups. You get, you know, Mariano Rivera or something towards the end of it, no matter what, really facing just the best pure hitters, and it was just dude against dude. You throw it, I'll hit it. Or, you know, you throw it and I'll get you out. Seeing like guys like Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson facing, you know, all the best hitters of the opposing league. And I think that's something that I would love to see, is some opportunity for, you know, since interleague play is so prevalent that it kind of waters the whole AL-NL thing. I'd love to see some way where you could have more marquee matchups, maybe the best pitcher in the AL face the best batter in the AL. But the whole weekend itself, I think they could do some other – I don't know. I like the gimmicky stuff, like the NHL skills competition. I think that's fantastic. I love it. I do like that that football every so often tries to do something like that. I don't even know what you would do, you know, for baseball. But I'm thinking the slam dunk contest in basketball is the equivalent of the home run derby. What if you could do some type of skills competition? Let's just pretend, you know, for argument's sake, that, you know, nobody would get hurt. What would be some kind of fun – I just like to ask kind of a fun question. If you could add something to the All-Star Games, what would you do? Like some type of base-stealing contest or who can rob the most home runs or something like that? I've always thought, something like have pitchers try to see who can get the most straight strikes or most consecutive strikes. Just kind of some wacky thing that, like, you could almost see your friends doing in the backyard, but actually see big leaguers do it. What about you guys? Is there anything you'd want to add to the All-Star festivities other than, you know, what everybody wants to do and remove the home field advantage in the World Series? Let's just all agree that that's terrible.
So,
TP, what do you think?
Since I'm surrounded by you two criminal Yankee fans, you know, that y'all had fun watching Aaron Judge win that home run derby over my boy Miguel Sano. So I feel the type of way. But if you're talking about robbing home runs, only Twins do that. Shout out to Torii Hunter, a.k.a. Spider-Man. So I don't know if they could set something up like that, watching people rob home runs and things of that nature. Like, only thing I could think of is, like, the furthest home run hit and say, like, $250,000 to the winner, and that'll really put, like, people jacking for the fence. That's the only thing I could think of, like, to add that extra incentive, because, you know, these pitchers ain't going to want to get the bomb hit off of them. Or if a pitcher doesn't give up a home run in the All-Star game, then they give them $250,000. So these pitchers really come out with some of their stuff. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, that's good.
But you know how they manage it. They give a lot of these pitchers like an inning or two to pitch. So, but it was one year when Pedro was pitching. I wanted to see Pedro lay down the whole National League when he was on top of the American League doing his thing in Boston. So, like, a lot of the mystique of the good pitchers are gone. Like, you got the names of now that don't really have that tune of the Pettits, the Clemens, the Pedro, while the American League was rocking. But that's something that, like, I could think of insightful, to have these pitchers really come out and do their thing and not give up a big ball. And if they do, just see which one is the furthest hit. That's the only one I could think of that can make the game still remain natural, you know?
Yeah, and TP, I just, you know, ask a rhetorical question. You think it's ridiculous that they have the home field stipulation portion of the All-Star game? I mean, do you think that's ridiculous, right? TP?
Wait, repeat the question again. I'm sorry, repeat the question. I apologize.
Do you think it's absolutely ridiculous that they have the home field advantage for the World Series be determined on who wins the All-Star game?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I think it's okay. I don't have a problem with that at all. That's the little incentive to give them somewhat of a drive, but they don't care, man. Some of those teams, some of the players that are in there know that their team is probably in the cellar and not really even playing that hard to get there. So I'm not really gung-ho on them trying to fight for home field, while if it's a National League team and they don't make it, like, you think a Pirate that's there is going to really fight for it, they're not getting there. So I don't know, unless they really have friends that they really made while in the dugout. So I think that's okay. I don't have a beef with that.
All right. What about you, Steve? What do you think of the All-Star game? Anything you'd want to add to maybe put a little flair in the it? You know, make it something.
A stolen base competition would be interesting. It would actually reintroduce baseball to stolen bases, which seemed to have died with the Vince Coleman and Ricky Henderson's and Lou Brock's of the world. So I think a stolen base contest would be, you know, have that before the home run derby. That would make for a really good all-star game extravaganza. But I don't know what's the more scarce supply in this country. Stolen bases, coins, or complete games? You know, the coin shortage, we have a complete game shortage in this country as well. So it's just baseball has really narrowed its the versatile entertainment aspect of its product. And I don't know why. I guess all the home run, you know, chicks dig the long ball, but Americans get bored easily.
Oh, man, I just Googled that. I was trying to figure out exactly the year that commercial was.
Yeah, chicks dig the long ball, you know, right around the time where America was saying, got beef? But anyway, or where's the beef? You know, the winner,
no, it was 99.
Something like that. But it's really incumbent upon baseball to bring back, let me put it this way, if baseball came in a box, the box should have the following: home runs, triples, doubles, singles, stolen bases, complete games, no hitters, perfect games, pass balls, wild pitches. Everything should be in that box. That box should go into a Amazon warehouse somewhere and be shipped to the Major League Baseball or to the league office in New York City. But there's quite a few things missing from that box, and I can't figure out why.
Well, I'll tell you why. At least, I feel very confident that the reason is the general statistic that the second time and, you know, exponentially more a third time a pitcher faces a batter, you know, that's when to get rid of them. So that just tells you the game is 27 outs, but it's not 27 outs. It's three sets of nine outs. So you bring up it's only a matter of time, and I think a team really should do this based on the rule set, but you should have a pitcher go for three innings and then another pitcher for another three and then another pitcher for another three, and you navigate it that way. I mean, that's where I think teams are aiming to go. They're just not using closers three innings, but you really should have it that way. And then, you know, maybe you'll have A, that means you'll put less strain on each of the pitchers. B, it means hitters will see different guys each time through the lineup. And C, yeah, I think you'll be able to do a little bit more of the mixing and matching throughout the season. So it's the worst possible answer for you, Steve, because I know how you're if you put baseball in a box, I mean, that's a great way to view it, but I just think that's the way the sport's going right now is you're trying to make each time through the order its own entity rather than 27 outs. It's 9 and 9 and 9. But guys, it's been a blast. I want to make sure I give each of you a little bit of time before we call it a night. So Steve and TP, I appreciate you joining us. One of the most fun technical issue shows that we've had thus far. But let's give you both a chance to have some final thoughts. And then if you want to give anything a plug or a shout out, here's your opportunity. Steve, let's start with you. What do you got to close with us for the day?
Well, shouting out Die Hard Sports Radio and the Sports Examiner crew, my man Jack, Terry, Marvin, and Naj, who referred me to TP, and here we are talking about sports. Looking forward to doing this over and over and over again. Shout out to them, and shout out to the Yankees, and some advice. Get consistent, because your pitching and defense are outstanding by the Yankees. The defense and the pitching are really good. If the hitting comes around, look out. So get consistent, Yankees, because if you do, you can make a deep playoff run this year, despite the rough few weeks that we've had leading up to now. But it looks like they're getting more consistent. So shout out to the Yankees for more consistency. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Steve. You were a blast to have on. We hope to hear from you again. You're always welcome to call. TP, it's your turn. What do you got for us?
I'm thankful that we got Steve here now within this week, had this type of turnaround, and glad to hear him on more shows and getting the wealth of knowledge from him. And definitely getting more people here for the baseball buffet, because I could tell that we ran out of stuff to, we ran out of time with the stuff that we could probably throw in there. But I'm mad. I'm surrounded by a bunch of Yankee fans, and I got to fight my way through this regardless. And I don't want to see the Yankees be consistent. I want them to fall flat on their face and let another team start dominating the East. I thought the Red Sox could do it, then they started getting caught up in their cheating scandal. No, I'm being funny. But I'm thankful for these guys, Dave and Nate, doing their thing every week for the baseball buffet. I love these two. These are my brothers. And I found a new brother in California named Simmerin Steve. So we got this thing cooking as best as possible in the kitchen. On that note, I'll tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
I appreciate it, TP. Thank you again for giving us this platform. This has been absolutely a blast. I know Nate and I feel the same way. Sometimes we will text each other during the week and say, I still can't believe we get the opportunity to just talk baseball and have people call in. It's been a blast. From the Yankee front, the Yankees are going to have a great summer, especially like we saw today. They're going to win a whole bunch of games, and then the weather's going to get colder. They're going to face good pitching, and everybody's going to wonder, what happened to the Yankees? They were doing so good in the summer. So we get to play that game again. Listen, I have said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant, good afternoon. Be sure to check us out online at www.sportcitychefs.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sport City Chefs. Feel free to check out the Instagram page, too, and all of our other pages. We've got some cool new merch out put out by Shives Creations. They are fantastic. I got myself a shirt and a mug. I use them every day. Well, I wear the shirt, and I use the mug every day. It's my favorite mug. Real proud of this team. Thank you again. It was a blast, and have a good night, everybody.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City Chefs. Sports City Chefs.
Connecticut.